Beaming live on a radio rope from a world near you, it's CKNWR radio station, servicing the city of Adobe Skyscraper, the surrounding Adobega County, and if weather permits, even further than that.
Join us this week for an episode of This Evening Show, originally aired September 29th, 1977. We will be joined in the studio by the Wonderful Land Wonderful Band. Meet each of the 8 members and discover how they came together to form this band. Also, find out about their interesting touring schedule. We'll also go live on location to meet Gary Uraga of Gary's Dex. All this and more on This Evening Show.
This Evening Show.
Welcome to This Evening Show. Alongside Charlie Dust, I'm your host, John Starboard, and tonight we have a special guest or guests in the studio here at the abandoned monorail station.
Can I be considered special too? Because I was here last week and the week before.
I don't think so. You being here all the time kind of makes you not special by design.
I would like to be special anyway.
Well, okay. You're special, but not because you're not here all the time.
I know, but I'm asking if I can be considered special.
Let's save that debate for another time. Tonight we have one of the country's most well-known and beloved musical acts in the studio with us.
Ooh, can we guess?
Well, they're here with us right now.
I know, but just for the fun of it, let's play 7 big questions.
7 big questions.
For the listener's sake, I'll ask the questions, okay?
If you were concerned about the listener's sake... Okay, look, let's do it. Question 1. Go ahead, Charlie. The special guest, bear with us. It's all part of the show.
Is the special guest a beloved and well-known?
Yes, I already said that.
Ah, ha, ha. Only yes or no answers.
All right.
Okay. Is the special guest more than one guest?
Yes.
Okay, audience, get your thinking pads out and write this down. The special guests are multiple, and they are beloved and well-known. See how this is painting a picture for the listener?
No. You know, you've used 3 questions, you know that.
Oh, okay. Is the special guest here now?
Yes.
Okay, obviously. Sorry, folks, I panicked there a bit.
Looks like we got a caller calling in right now, so let's take that.
Hey, have we asked all the questions yet?
No.
That wasn't a very helpful question.
What?
Okay, you got 2 questions left.
All right, is the special guest Dr. Jaws in the Electronic Insanity Band?
No. And Charlie, that's not even a real band. That's just a fake puppet band on TV.
Hold on. Is a fake puppet a real person?
What?
Is a fake puppet a real person?
Maybe. And that's 7 big questions. Okay, so the answer is, the special guests for the night are the Wonderful Land Wonderful Band. That's right, joining us tonight in the flesh are, in order of how they're sitting around our breakfast table here, Dr. Moses Ahmed, Lily Alvarez, Lucy Uluwehi, Paul Yenwa, Ma Tzu, is that right? Okay. Yeter Mosfat, and Mel Cuba, Wait a minute, I feel like I missed someone.
Yeah, I think Guy went to use the commode.
And Guy Steinway in the bathroom, using the commode.
And I'd like to point out, just for the record, that Dr. Jaws and the Electronic Insanity Band are real puppets.
They are?
Yes, and quite good. Not a real band, you know, but real good.
Well, they're only as good as their master's hands.
Well, when I say they're quite good, I'm not talking about their choreography, or their stage presence, or whatever flim-flam like that. That's not something I put very much stock in. Really, none of us do. Their arrangements are exquisite, though. Very intricate-like. What, What did you say the other day about the arrangements, Lily? Something about
a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The arrangements are like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle that you have to assemble while blindfolded under a waterfall. It is that complex, you know, wicked complex.
Well, speaking of complex, let's talk about the Wonderful Land Wonderful Band. You know, there are 8 of you, after all. So, why don't we go around the circle? You can introduce yourselves.
I'm Dr. Moses El Mishak Ahmed. I play lead electronic.
Electronic? What do you mean?
Well, he plays lead electric guitar. Dr. Ahmed is an enthusiast of electromagnetism by trade. He therefore thinks it in a different way. He approaches the guitar as one might approach a very complicated electromathematical problem.
But he plays the guitar.
Electric guitar, yes.
Not acoustic?
Never. A primitive instrument.
As a guitarist, you can say that he now dabbles in string theory. Get it?
No, I do not do the string theory. I have a colleague, Dr. Arabutel, who is preeminent in string theory. She has pioneered
Relax,
some theory.
Relax, Mo. It was just a joke.
Very good. And Lily?
Oh, I'm Lily Alvarez. I play the trap set.
I'm Lucy. I play vibes, piano, marimba, timpanophone, steel pan, light organ, harmonophone, glass tube, witch bell, xylophone, and what else?
She plays it all, John.
Yeah, I play just about whatever I can get my hands on.
And your last name, Uluwehi, are you connected at all to the river of the same name?
Well, I have a long line of ancestors stemming from the mighty King Uluwehi, which the romantic Uluwehi River was named after. What most people don't know is that the king's son also opened up the first souvenir shop along the banks of that same river, mostly selling flowers and shirts made out of flowers. We like to say that the Uluwehi family tree has 2 strong arms for that reason.
Well, I'm Paul Yenoir, and I do the horn and string arrangements for the band, and I do a lot of side work arranging for TV programs. Unlike Lucy, though, I only play 2 instruments, the trumpet and the trombone. I really love the intimacy of knowing an instrument, you know, feeling the brass. It really helps to have that closeness when you're making arrangements. You know, like knowing an actor.
Indeed.
Do not cast a timid, slight, scrawny whelp as your lead or your scary beast. Or should you? Or should you? That is the interesting question.
Hey, there's that guy.
Oi, sorry I'm late.
Welcome. Guy, right? I've been having everyone introduce themselves.
Solid, my am Guy Steinway.
Have a seat. What do you play?
Bass, man. Solid.
All right. Next?
Mezu.
And what about you?
Mezu.
Okay, what instrument do you play?
Let me translate for you, man. Mazu is here from Octavia. And in his native tongue, the word flute is pronounced zoo. So we call him our little flute mate, Mazu. Dig it?
Oh, so your name's Flute Man.
Ma-zu.
That's right. Ma-zu.
Huh. And I'm Yader Mosfet. I do lead vocals and rhythm guitar. I'm not exclusive to the electric like the doctor, though. I actually like the acoustic.
And I'm Amel Cuba. I play and percussion. I'm also the oldest member of the band by the goods.
No, you're too hard on yourself.
That's just a fact. It's nothing.
Okay, well, you've all brought your instruments into the monorail station today, and I think we've got them set up in the atrium out there. So, listeners, you're in for a very special treat. For the first time in 6 years, the Wonderful Land Wonderful Band, live from the abandoned monorail station. And what's the first song you're going to play tonight?
Well, this first song is called Wonderful Land. It's named after the state we live in, metaphorically speaking, not geographically.
Right on.
Thank you.
So can you have a national anthem of a state?
Well, remember that the song and our band name have nothing to do with the state in Atobicoke County. I mean, a lot of people make that mistake. We started calling ourselves Wonderful Land before the state was even annexed by the government, and that was back in the 50s or something. And it was really just a way to explain our state of mind, which at the time was wonderful. So does that make sense?
Yeah, in a roundabout sort of way.
So, since that's the national anthem of Wonderful Land, do kids have to sing it before radio ball games?
Well, like I was saying, we don't really have anything to do with the state. I haven't made any national anthems, not yet.
Well, I think it would be hard for kids to sing those bass parts. Kids don't really like to sing that low.
Yeah, I guess that would
so,
be hard.
So, Yater, could you give us a short history of how the band formed?
Oh, sure, yeah. So, my grandparents used to run this little water park off one of the tributaries of the Ulawahi River. You know, water slides and tunnels and whirlpools and that sort of thing. Well, right around when we were 17, 18, I rounded up Lily and Guy and we started up a band. Lily on drums, Guy played bass. I just played the water whistle and that was pretty much it. Called ourselves Tarantula Victim.
Yeah, well, we were playing a lot of subtropical sort of Andy Vanador kind of stuff. I would stomp out a beat on a plastic drum. Guy had his bass tuned 2 octaves low.
Loose, mate.
Yeah, it sounded really cool in the river tunnel.
Wait, what do you mean, river tunnel?
Oh, right. Well, my grandparents would pay us $10 a night to play in the tunnel part of the log flume. They thought it would boost ticket sales or something. I don't think it did.
Yeah, man, we have our school chums come around Friday nights. After the water park close, we play music, swing around on ropes, drink a lot of beer, you know, have a good time. Once, my friend Tommy, he brought his sister one time and she played this little 6-inch battery-powered fucking piano thing with us once.
So, is that how you met the rest of the band?
Pretty much, yeah. My older brother used to bring one of his college buddies to the party and he would just lean against this totem pole all night and stare at us. He was just this tall guy, just folded arms, leaning, staring. Well, turns out it was Dr. Moses over here. Of course, he wasn't a doctor back then, but he still used to intimidate the hoolie out of us.
I was listening, making guitar music in my head. Electronic guitar music. Staring helps me to see in a different way. By hearing.
Yeah, you were listening, all right. Get this, he came one weekend with one of those giant amplifiers, those, what were they called? Edison Fairline amps. The one, you know, the ones with the super deep, they had antifreeze vibratos or something. Anyway, but he played with us the whole night, and it just, it sounded so cool.
Absolutely solid,
man. And we figured we had something pretty wonderful going on. So after high school, we just started playing around town at sandwich shops and nightclubs, and I think that's when actually we first met Lucy. She was bartending at the Neon Parrot Lounge. Yeah, and one night she actually brought her Franklin Street's electric piano. And
I dragged that keyboard all the way from my apartment.
Yeah, and she just played with us more and more and just kind of melted into things, I guess.
Like an egg cracked on your head?
I guess so.
Cool.
So one night we were playing, can't remember what song.
It was a Dentist.
Oh, that's right, Dentist, yeah. So we were playing Dentist. Jeez, we haven't played that one in forever. Anyhow, we heard this flute playing outside on the street along with us. It was Mizzou. He was just busking out on the street and just playing along, and it sounded so cool. So I guess he was trying to make a few bucks to pay off his alien fees or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just started playing with this on a regular basis. And by this time, we weren't really playing strictly subtropical root rock anymore. I mean, we were playing a lot of stuff. So we started calling ourselves a Wonderful Land, Wonderful Band. That was actually Mizzou's idea.
Nah.
And one night at the Neon Parrot, this guy comes up to us after his show. Kind of, I don't know, like a sloppy looking guy. You know, says his name is Ray Wister, works for the Fertile Crescent Telephone Company. Says he's interested in using his office to direct telephone funds into music production or something like that. It was weird. It sounded like a Sound like a scam or something.
I thought he was gonna tie us up in a van and mangle us.
So he just offered us a recording contract and we accepted. Yeah, that same week we went downtown to some office building and started recording Wonderful Land. It was crazy, it was so fast. And he even brought in this guy Mel Cuba, world-renowned jazz percussionist, to help us out with our beats.
Renowned, you say?
Well, you are. Don't act like you're not. And he got Paul to help with our arrangements and added some horns and saxophone and cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Paul was real big in the TV world.
I did the arrangement for the Gilly Pig Christmas specials right out of college.
Wow, I remember those.
Wait, you're Gilly Pig?
No, but I did score the musical crescendo for Gilly Pig's Christmas Epiphany.
Anyway, yeah, so that's basically how it happened, and that was in 1973 when that album came out, and we sort of, you know, more or less became the band you see here.
You know, I remember seeing Tarantula Victim, and you opened for Digital Native. It must have been, what, 68? And I remember you guys played some Wig.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were huge Medieval Wig fans, especially Lucy over here.
Yeah, I am a huge Wig head.
And you guys are going to cover a Medieval Wig song? Is that right?
Yes, this is actually a song Medieval Wig wrote for one of the popular dances of the day, the Lunsford Creep. It's called the Lunsford Creep off the 1961 release, Wiggin' Out.
That's right. Now, for those of you out there who don't know, one of our regular hosts, Louis Mastodon, played guitar for Medieval Wig. Take it away, band.
Thank you.
Thanks for the wonderful land, wonderful band, everybody. So, I've noticed, whenever I'm waiting at a monorail station or a bus terminal for the past few weeks and years, actually, I keep hearing your band on the loudspeakers, and it's pretty much only your band, so what's the deal? Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, there is. It's both good and bad, actually. So, as you know, we've never really been a touring band, per se. I mean, we play a big show at my grandparents' water park every summer, plus we might play at a smash-up golf course or one of the state parks or something a couple times a year, but that's pretty much it. Well, Ray, who, I mean, I guess he's pretty much our unofficial tour manager by now, but he ended up signing some kind of corny deal with the Atalbega County Transit Authority a few months ago. So now they have exclusive rights to play our music at all the terminals and all the way stations and all bus stops and all that stuff.
That's good for exposure.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we're actually getting some royalties out of this for once. Except there's one catch.
What's that?
The endless tour.
Yeah. So, in exchange for this exclusive distribution, Ray promised that we'd play a concert at every single highway rest stop. Every single one in the Wonderful Land highway system. We get a letter at the beginning of each month laying out the rest stops to play. We go and play a show at each of them. It's like 5 or 6 a week.
Wow. So how many rest stops are there?
Hundreds, man.
Jeez. Well, what's your attendance like? Seems like the audience can't be very big, you know, at those kind of shows.
Attendance varies, you know. Sometimes we might have a couple of minivans worth of families sitting in the grass. Sometimes we might have thousands.
Yeah. Rest stop 410 was pretty wild. I think we had, what, 1,000 people there?
Forget a zero, 10,000.
10,000. Had to turn our amps up real loud. Most of the time, though, it was just us playing DMD Highway. A water fountain. An audience of one. It's all right, though.
An audience of one? So you have one super fan or something?
Well, we've got lots of those, John, but don't you get all cheeky with me right now, brother. Not quite. It's just Eddie Moose. He's with the Transit Authority. Just follows us around, keeps track. I think I heard him over there.
Wait, is that the guy over there with the clipboard lying on the couch?
Yeah, that's Eddie. See, I told you I heard him, John. Say hi, Eddie. Yeah.
I was wondering who that was. So he just follows you around and marks down what rest stops you've played at?
Yeah, man. Kind of like a dog, like a pit bull on a tree. They'd like to take a little piss on a tree to mark where they played at, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's great, Eddie. You know, Eddie, where's the next concert, mate?
Yeah, I got it here. Vacation Highway 423.
Oh, so not so far from here.
Yeah, you guys should totally come. There's free admission.
Really? Great.
Well, all the shows are free, I guess. Public rest stops are free.
Very good. Well, how about another song?
Hey, Paul, want to do APC?
Yes, this song is called Midnight at the APC.
Some friends
Ah, very nice. So, how's the tour going? It's your first time, right?
Yeah, pretty much first time to hit the road. And, so we realized pretty early on that if our music was going to be piped through speakers 24 hours a day, we'd probably need some fresh material to keep the fans happy. So we're busy recording new material right now.
When do you have time to record if you're always traveling around?
Well, travel in a caravan of pop-up campers. I'm sure you saw us pull up at the monorail station earlier. So one of the campers just for recording guitars, one for drums, and we have an extra big one whenever we want to do everything all at once.
One's for sleeping, mate.
Yeah, that's right. So we record while we tour, while we write.
While we live.
Yes. Yes, that is the life.
So who drives when you're recording?
We take turns driving. I'll drive. Lee will lay down, you know, on a lay down a drum track anyway. Then we switch and I'll do a bass track, you know what I mean? And then Dr. Moses records most of his guitar parts while driving, which is, well, solid.
And we don't let Mazoo drive. He's too small.
Well, on that note, how about another song?
Fish?
Yes, this one is a song we wrote as a soundtrack to an old, old, silent, black-and-white cartoon called Le Poisson Ninja, The Ninja Fish.
Thank you.
That was excellent. And Matsu, you're playing some kind of synthetic flute box. Very cool. You know, I could actually see a ninja fish in my mind when the music was playing. It was very neat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I could for a while until your man Moose there informed me that you guys had to pack up after this song. So, apparently you got a show in about 12 hours or something?
What time is it?
Midnight 30.
Oh, yeah. We start our shows around noon. Usually play till supper time.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming all the way out here on your tour. I hope we can catch up with you down the road a little bit. When's the next time you're going to be in Adobe Skyscraper?
John, we all love you. We love to see you. We do get a break in November, so probably around then.
Very good. We'll try and catch up then.
Hey, see you later. Thanks for having us. Catch you later.
All right. Well, tonight we also have a very special guest in the studio who's only singular. And that's Mr. Gary Araga, deck builder extraordinaire. I know it's late, Gary, but thanks for coming out here to be on the radio. You won decking awards in 1967 and 75, so you know a little bit about it. Why don't you teach us how to build a deck, Gary?
I'd love to. The first thing you gotta get is good equipment. You never want to use, a dull hammer. You never want to use a dull screwdriver. Secondly, the other thing you gotta get is good lumber.
Where do you get these items?
Well, the best place to get good lumber is at a lumber yard. Or you could grow it yourself.
Do you grow your own lumber?
Oh, sure I do. I grow every piece of lumber I use every day.
Okay, well, what's the next step?
The next step is to make a plan. Stick to your plan and never forget it. For example, if you decide to make a round porch, don't forget that you're making a round porch halfway through and then start making a square porch.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is that you have a plan and you stick to that plan?
Probably like an 8. 8, 8, 8.
Well, what's the next step?
8, 8.
So, okay, once you made your plan,
steps.
Grabbed your lumber from the best lumber store available, what's the next step?
Execution. Execution is a major part of every plan. Every successful endeavor begins with execution. So what you need to take care of next is your execution.
What types of supplies would you need for an endeavor like execution?
Anything sharp, anything heavy.
So again, you said 8 steps. What are they? Actually, in their order, is execution its own step, or is it more like a guiding principle?
The 8 steps are here. Just a second. Okay, 8 steps to building a deck. 8 steps to write these down. So, step 1, find wood. Like I said, lumber. Step 2, feel good. That's obvious. Step 3, find shade.
Like a shady place for your deck?
A shady place for my ass. But seriously, you don't want to be in the sunlight. Step 4, lemonade. Again, obvious. Step 5, make a plan. Like I said, don't change halfway.
Round to square. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Step 6, grab anything sharp, anything heavy. That's where we were. So get that taken care of. And then step 7, call Melchizedek.
Who?
Me. I'm Val Melchizedek.
Oh, the silent and lurking figure in the dark. Huh.
Yeah, Val works for me. He'll build the deck. He'll take care of step 8.
And what is step 8 exactly?
Val?
I build a fence and I knock it over. a deck.
Oh, so how many decks have you built?
Today, 12.
Wow. Okay, so how many, let's say, how many do you think you build in an average week? Say it's Saturday, so...
I average upwards of 200 decks a week.
Man, how many hours did you work today?
Well, not including this interview. Probably I worked 14 hours today. Yep.
13 or 14 hours and you built 12 decks.
Yep.
Well, you built 12 fences and knocked them over.
So, that's all there is to it.
Do you build any specialty decks?
What do you mean?
I can build you a given style deck for an 8 bucket pound of gold.
I see. And what's that?
About yay big. About yay heavy.
No, what's a given style deck?
A deck on the water.
Like a dock.
No, friend. He said a deck on the water.
I see. I always thought those were called docks.
Well, a given style deck is named after a regular deck, you see? But because it's on the water, it's also named after Mr. Givens.
The notorious river bandit of old, yes. Well, that's fascinating. Do you simply toss a fence in the water to construct a deck like that?
I can't see. I'd have to have half the gold up front and the bottom half.
Huh. Well, I'm afraid I'm fresh out. I guess we'll have to learn about that another day.
Another night.
Right.
Seriously, you don't want to be in the sunlight. So, step one, find wood. Step two, feel good. Step three, find shade. Step four, lemonade. Like I said, don't change halfway. Oh, I sure do. I grow every piece of lumber that I use every day.
Just come out, kiss a deck.
So, with that, we're gonna close out this episode. Thanks for joining us, and take care out there.
Doo-dah, bye-bye.
Good night.
Is this evening?